Welcome to Fandomonious, a pop culture podcast.
Welcome to Fandomonious, where each week we gather to discuss pop culture, past, present, and speculative future. I screwed that up, and I'm Adam.
You gave it your all. That's all that counts.
That's right. Who are you?
I will be Ian.
Who are you?
Unfortunately, I'm Kramer.
Ben's not here.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Him has headache. He's had a headache for like since yesterday, so he's taking a little PO. PTO?
We don't offer PTO. We'd have to get paid to have paid time off.
A PD. I'm curious. I'm going balls to the walls this episode. If you can watch one of these from each line right now and the rest get deleted, what are you watching? You get to pick one from each line. Row one, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals.
Shang-Chi.
Eternals.
Black Widow. Number two. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder, Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Personally, I just because I love the characters, I would go Spider-Man.
For the record, I want to see all of these movies, but yeah. Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's
Thor, Love and Thunder. Jeez. Number three, Black Panther, Captain Marvel 2, Quantumania, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Quantumania.
I think I would want to see Quantumania.
Captain Marvel 2.
Hot take.
Yeah. And no Black Panther got picked.
Well, the only reason
I'm not excited for the movie because it's really hard seeing anybody else
other than Chadwick. That's pretty much it.
And they've said that they're not going to recast.
They won't.
And T'Challa, they're going to figure it out. Yeah,
and I think they'll do a good job.
I'm sure they will, but the excitement for me is gone. I'm going to watch it, but I'm still sad. Yeah. I'm very sad.
Actually, I don't think Ben commented on that, so I don't even have his to throw
Jeez,
in there.
Wait,
Ben. Wait.
Oh, wait, I thought he did.
Maybe.
There we go.
Ben clearly Black wanted to Widow, see Captain America. Or
Black
Captain
Widow,
Marvel
Doctor Strange. And three was the hardest one for him. So he I guess Ant-Man is what he said.
I thought he said Captain Marvel 2 just for them to fix it.
Well, he brought up a lot. He explained all of them why he wants them. And so he said because he wants all three, he said, so I guess Ant-Man. So that's his. Widow from the first line, Doctor Strange from the second, and the third one he guesses he would pick Ant-Man because he wants to see all three.
And plus, like, Ant-Man is just like... Ant-Man's like his own little corner of the MCU.
Yeah, I love Ant-Man.
Like,
I do too.
It's just Ant-Man movies are just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's really, especially between like coming off of Infinity War, how Infinity War came out and literally the following month, mm-hmm. Ant-Man and the Wasp released.
Right.
Like it was a perfect movie.
It's a great movie
to put in there between Infinity War and Endgame because you know, like I said, you came off of Infinity War mm-hmm. and you were just like,
and it's not like. The fact
we needed that comedy.
The fact that they do his stuff so differently, it's not like some sort of testament that... I think I have like half my headphone out. It's not saying that because his are so different in solo that he can't contribute. Because when he's in the MCU with the characters...
He fits right in.
Yeah, and he doesn't. They don't change his character to fit in. He's still just normal
he's
Scott
Paul
Lang.
Rudd in
he's
the MCU.
Paul Rudd. It's just like Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds, like... Paul Rudd is now just Ant-Man.
Yeah.
They don't even need to call him Scott Lang. They can just call him Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And just Paul Rudd is Ant-Man. Like, that's fine.
Paul Rudd. Right.
Nobody would be mad about that.
The man is a vampire.
He is.
The world is a vampire.
I have Irk from 72 PC Podcast, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, and Black Panther. And he said the last group is hard. So he found the third one to be the hardest. Ben found it to be the hardest. Yours the third or the second? Yours was the second row.
Second was the hardest for me.
I struggled with the second one because of Doctor Strange.
I agree that second one's hardest for me too.
But the third one, it was like, well, it's not necessarily, well, is it which one of these would I see if I only got two? It was one of those where it's like, okay, which one do I feel... I can't even think of like the words to say it. Like, I don't know.
Right.
It was one of those where it's like, I'm not really like top tier excited for any of these movies. So it's one of those things where it's like this is the same, but if I had to pick between one of them.
Yeah. It's the whole fun of it is just that you have to pick, and obviously don't, like, we're going to get them all.
Because Ant-Man is such a chill, easy watch. Like, both of them have been. So I've like going into the MCU and going forward, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, with WandaVision, it was very, grief stricken, emotional. And then with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it deals with a lot of like heavy things going on in the world now.
Systemic racism,
and
political, yeah, economical
so
issues.
I think you know, I'm looking at Ant-Man as in a sense of that would just be a good break from the seriousness,
right?
Kind of like how Ant-Man and the Wasp was after Infinity War came out.
Oh, I definitely don't disagree at all. I think it's going to be a necessary breakup at some point.
And I think that's why Loki is going to be really good to have come June.
I'm from excited what I saw, there that. Are.
Yeah.
Because Loki just seems bonkers and I love it.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, they do have some serious moments in it. So it's not going to be like crazy ridiculous.
Total, yeah.
Josh Estep says Black Widow, Spider-Man, and Black Panther 2. Let's see. That. Anyone else comment on that? No, that's all the comments. We didn't get as many comments on that particular one. I'll see if there's any in the Instagrams. That was from our Discord, which you can join our Discord. I don't have like some special thing. Just DM me for the key. I'll send you the invite.
The key.
You know, this is kind of off topic, but it was kind of a cool thing that I think it was yesterday or Wednesday.
Yes.
Because obviously we record on Friday. It was the 10-year anniversary of Scream 4.
Right. I love that movie.
There was a lot of discussion yesterday and even into today. And I was going to say something yesterday about it so we could talk about it tonight, and I forgot, but we could still talk about
it. Here we are. Right. I love that movie. It's such a good flick.
Well, that's what a lot of people were talking about was, you know, because Scream 4 is now 10 years old, which is your favorite Scream? Do you love Scream 4? Do you hate Scream 4? Because apparently the internet's a little bit more divided on it than I thought.
Well, the internet's wrong.
I don't remember Scream 4 very well. I didn't rewatch that one as much. I'm the classic Scream guy. Scream.
My opinion is trash because I love 3. Not the most, but I love 3. Therefore, my opinion is no longer
valid. It's okay to love it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Your opinion's always valid.
All the Scream movies are good movies.
Honestly, 110%, it's Scream 2 based solely on Sarah Michelle Gellar. I love the original. Original's phenomenal, but I just feel a certain type of way when I see SMG on screen. So I'm gonna go with 2.
I'm watching the Buffy series from the beginning through.
And
I get
so
that.
I'm so proud of you.
I get that now.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. She's phenomenal.
She is.
I do love the original though.
Let's see.
I don't know. I'm like with Scream and Scream 4, kind of like how Ben is with X-Men First Class.
That makes sense.
Whether I like the original or Scream 4 more just depends on the week I'm having.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a little thing that they were talking about.
Yeah,
I took a picture of it. I'll have to show you guys, but right where I'm sitting, and the fact that I'm not sitting in my normal seat, your reflection from my side looks like there's a person sitting there, and it scared the absolute fuck out of me.
This place ain't haunted. It doesn't.
I was like, nothing. It was just corner of my eye. Like,
no ghost would want to.
Juju is the only thing that goes bumping in the night.
I looked over and I saw your hands and I was like, ugh.
Oh shit, he's not kidding.
Dude, it's
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it lines up with the microphone and everything.
And then like the headphones, I was like, fuck. Yeah. And then I went, oh, okay, it's just
that's
soupy.
Awesome. Chris Aldridge works at Church and City Music. He commented on our Facebook post for that and said, don't you dare blip my entertainment.
We're not allowed
to pick one. They're all getting made, damn
it. You know
it.
What? I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I love how he even said blip my entertainment. That's good.
Blip my entertainment.
I like that. Bravo.
Another fun little thing that came up. I was on Twitter.
Yes.
And Luke is the name.
Don't wear it out.
At QLXKE _.
Okay.
Hopefully that doesn't mean anything bad because I just said it on here, but... he's got Zoidberg as his profile pic.
Zoidberg!
Oh, we're doing this, aren't we?
He said, just drop... Well, you've done yours, so no one's going to be surprised. Well,
have we
you've never done the full cast. you've done the two mains. So just dropping my Fantastic Four fan cast on the timeline. And it surprised me with how okay I was with it. So I shared it to the group.
I don't hate it. It's just not my picks.
Right. Brandon Routh as Reed Richards. Diana Agron. Sue Storm.
I love
Lucas Till. Johnny Storm. And Drew Powell. Ben Grimm. And we've shared the pictures on social media if you want to see them next to the comic versions. I feel like I would enjoy that movie.
Like I said, I don't hate the cast.
Especially the Thing. Because I think, if I remember right, that's the guy that was in Gotham.
I believe so.
I think. Either way, like, he's very familiar to me, and he's a great actor. So I think he'd be a great Thing because he's got that broad build. So, but yeah, that's mine. Not mine. It's this guy's pick, and I like it. So,
See, I have mine, and I mean, I know my main two are kind of generic because it's I want what everybody else wants. I want John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Right.
But that being said, I do have actually my other two. I really don't know if I've discussed it on here yet or not. I don't know if we've ever talked about
You may have mentioned it in the past, but the only two I remember that you bring up the most often are those two. I don't know if I recall the Flame and or the Human Torch and the Thing.
Human Torch, I want Joe Keery, who plays Steve on Stranger Things.
Okay.
I want him to have the hair, too.
Right.
I do love the hair.
I love the hair.
Yeah. I love a lot of things apparently on this episode.
And
sorry.
I know now I can't get it because he is now in the MCU, but I wanted Ben Grimm, like the Thing, to be Hopper from Stranger Things. But he's playing Red Guardian and Black Widow.
Right.
Yeah.
But I want the mocap though. I want Brock Lesnar to do mocap.
Mm. Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I want Brock Lesnar to do mocap, but I liked David Harbour's voice for the Thing.
He could voice it. We have Thanos and Cable.
Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite fan casting that I saw, and I don't know their names other than Danny DeVito, but it's just the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Which is funny.
Which I was going to bring up because in the Discord, Adam Jordan shared it.
Yes.
So he thought the same thing.
I was like, you know what? Wouldn't even be mad.
I have, if we're talking about the cast for Fantastic Four, you know, the main one that comes up afterwards is who is your Doctor Doom?
Right.
And I've been struggling with that one because I really do. I originally would have loved Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay.
But obviously he was in Doctor Strange,
mm-hmm.
so can't do that. But I really, if in a perfect world, I would have Fassbender come back to be Magneto, but I don't think Disney's going to go that direction. Right. But I would love a Michael Fassbender.
I think he'd make
Doctor Doom.
One.
I would love it. And somebody said something in the Discord about a name, but I didn't know who that was. But I feel like I've been seeing everybody say his name.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, I've been
and
hearing
Christopher
that.
Waltz.
I don't know who
See,
that is.
See, I've heard Viggo Mortensen a lot.
I know Viggo Mortensen. He's in Lord of the Rings, and then he's also in Captain Fantastic, which is a movie that my brother, Kyle Pettigene, worked on.
Holy shit.
I'm going to look it up real quick, because I didn't know who that was, but I feel
he's
like
he's actually
in
the credits. So if you watch Captain Fantastic with Viggo Mortensen, and you go through the credits, you will find Kyle Pettigene, who is my brother.
I need to look out for his name. I'm assuming it made it onto Runaways.
Okay,
Kyle.
I know who that guy is.
Because I found that jacket when I was cleaning the garage yesterday. Yeah. I went, oh yeah, I never brought this inside.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Shout out, Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay, I now see who Viggo Mortensen is.
Okay.
I still want fast.
Who's Christopher Waltz?
Who's Christopher Walken?
Christoph Waltz is the guy, Django Unchained.
Oh,
the dentist.
Okay.
Does your mother sew? Boom. Get her to sew that.
He also was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes. That was from Daryl, by the way,
which I don't hate, but I think he might be a little too old.
I think Viggo would be a good one.
Viggo wouldn't be bad now that I know who he is.
Yeah, I think he would play the character well.
It depends on what age they make their Fantastic Four. It really depends.
Daryl also said Catherine Winnick for Sue Storm.
I also know that name. I need to find a face.
I would need to know that, like, who that is too. Seriously, if you can look it up, like, I'll read them off quick, but if you can look it up, find the Twitter for it or whatever. Adam Jordan posted, Kramer found it on Twitter. I don't think this would be a good serious. Like, I'm not being serious for the MCU, but I would want to see either a movie or a likeness cartoon of the Always and Sunny in Philadelphia cast as the Fantastic Four.
Oh, sign me the fuck up.
That would be fun.
Drawn like them in a cartoon or an actual live action short movie. Fuck, I'd pay to watch a full length movie of it, but
they can just Snyder cut it.
Yes. Reed Richards. Is it Rob? How do you say his last name?
McElway or McElroy?
McAhenny?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know how to say the name. It's Mac from the show. Let's see. Caitlin Olsen as Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman. Charlie Day as Johnny Storm. And those all are pretty obvious. They right. fit the roles perfectly.
I really want
Danny DeVito as Ben Grimm is awesome. But awesome.
It's so awesome. He's the trash man.
I'm more hype on this whole list about Charlie Day as the Human Torch than anything.
I'm actually more hyped about Glenn Howerton as Dr. Doom. Like, not as Dennis, but Shayna, your brother, we got him to sit down and watch a movie. Shayna, your brother, and I watched The Hunt.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say The Strangers. I was like, he's in The Strangers.
And he was, like, fantastic in that.
And I didn't know he was in The Hunt.
The whole fucking movie blew me away. Just, I expected to enjoy it. It looked funny and entertaining, but it blew our minds, all of us. Your brother likes the movie, and Shane and I are just like, this is fucking great.
You're talking about the horror movie, The Hunt, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking great. Yes. But either way, his
character... I didn't know he was in that.
Not a lot, but he's in it. Because I actually couldn't tell a lot. He's like really like slender in the face, and I think he's toned a lot now. Mm-hmm. Like, he was never out of shape, but he also just didn't look like he worked out. Like, he just was a natural slim.
I would like to say same, but we all know
and
that's a lie.
Honestly, you know, I think he could pull off menacing. I really do.
Yeah, I think he could. And I think that would be a great career thing for him. Because anyone that gets in the MCU, automatically, you're pretty much set for the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah.
But in general, I think it would land him even more roles outside of comic book characters.
And I mean, even then, like, I mean, gosh, they've been doing Always Sunny for
117 years.
Eons. And they've just got approved for like 3 more seasons not that long ago.
I've never actually watched the damn show aside from a handful of episodes, episode I've seen has made me piss myself laughing.
Yeah, I've never really seen a bad episode for never really sitting down and watching it.
Right. We started it from the beginning to go through and watch it. We haven't finished, obviously. We've only gotten a little ways through. We did the same thing with Parks and Rec, too, like Shane and I. We started watching every episode from the beginning to get caught up, and then at some point just fell off.
Yeah.
Not because we didn't like it. It's just you get distracted and squirrel.
I got that way with Schitt's Creek.
Because I think I started that, too, and same thing. Like, cause after so far, I just found stuff to watch.
I got like 16 episodes into Schitt's Creek. Really liked it. But I ended up having to put it down to do other shit.
Never went back.
Then I just never picked it back up.
I bought the first couple seasons on Vudu and then never watched
it. It's great. It really is. Every episode that I watched of Schitt's Creek, it's fantastic. And I actually really, really enjoyed it. I just lost it.
Right.
So I also accidentally... go ahead.
I just want to throw out, Josh Estep was the one that brought the first challenge up, the pick one from each line.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw out that he was the one that sent that to us. So that
Thank
was
you, Josh.
I also accidentally quit The Flash.
They're on hiatus until May, so you have a chance to redeem yourself.
Are they now?
They are.
Because of COVID?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
No,
that's
probably their mid-season break. They always take one.
I just thought it was weird that they said hiatus.
They always take a mid-season break. Usually at this point in time, though, it's like Christmas time.
Yeah.
So they're gone from like the middle of November to like the second week of January.
See, I know that Superman and Lois is off because of COVID, so they won't be back till middle May, but that's why... they're not.
But yeah, because obviously the last season of Flash, because of COVID, got cut short 3 episodes. So the last 3 episodes of last season were the first 3 episodes of this season.
Mm-hmm.
So in the third episode, they beat the villain of last season because that was supposed to be the season finale. And I was just super pissed at how they handled beating the big bad to the point where I'm like, okay, I have dedicated 7 years of my life to watching this show, and this is what's making me, I'm not going to say what it is just because I don't really feel like having that conversation right now, But it just got to the point where I'm like, this is it. This is what it is. And I haven't picked it back up since, and that was probably like four episodes ago. So I think I finally got to that point where like, I can't take this anymore. I'm done.
So this is totally unrelated, but it just popped into my head. Why hasn't SNL greenlit a Chad movie? Okay. All right. Also, I strive to be as chill, as relaxed as Chad at all times about everything.
Oh,
for those of you who don't know,
at first I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I was like trying to be quiet, just like, "What the fuck is that?"
Context clues. But then I got context
it. Yeah, I got it.
For those of you who don't know, fucking Pete Davidson plays this character on SNL. He does a skit
to perfection. I know people that are Chad.
Yeah, and it's just called Chad, and I couldn't beg you enough to go online and just look up all of the skits. They are hilarious.
Hello, Jello.
I think the best one is with J-Lo.
Or the RuPaul one. Goodbye, RuPaul. RuPaul. Oh, man. I don't know why I find them as funny as I do. Or the one with Benedict Cumberbatch. Every time I say his name, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, and I hate myself for it. Every time. I almost sang it the first time.
Hey.
Sorry.
We didn't do the Halloween directors because that was Sunday.
Oh, shit.
It feels like it was last week, but then I was I don't think that. So I got to go back and find that discussion.
We need
too.
To stop finding things literally like 6 hours after we record.
Okay, so what they gave us, who found this?
It was me.
Okay, way to go, Kramer. Way to give us content. Kramer. So they gave us the Halloween directors. Pick your two favorite Halloween director, is what it says. Go. H2 and is it Resurrection? Is that HR? Halloween Resurrection?
Yeah.
Rick Rosenthal. The Zombie Halloween and The Zombie Halloween 2, Rob Zombie. Halloween 2018, David Gordon Green. Halloween 3, Tommy Lee Wallace. Halloween Original, John Carpenter. Halloween 6, Joe Chappelle. Halloween 4, Dwight Little. Halloween 5, Dominic Othinen Gerard. Sure. And then Halloween H2O, Steve Miner.
I think there's a shoe-in no matter what.
It's Carpenter. I would be shocked to know if you don't have
Carpenter. If anybody
Carpenter
has
in there.
A list would, that doesn't include hope. Carpenter, then I don't trust
out.
Them.
We're going to find out. Because I need to go back. I didn't realize that was like right after our other episode.
I struggled between Steve Miner, because I love Halloween H2O. Except for the CGI mask.
I just don't.
That was actually my introduction to the Halloween franchise.
It was mine too.
That was my first time seeing Halloween was H2O.
Mine was Resurrection. Is that the one where they're...
That's the one where fucking Busta Rhymes Roundhouse.
Yeah, and they've got like the house is set up with fucking like cameras a reality and shit. Show? Yeah, no. Yeah. It almost made me rage quit that whole fucking series.
But I struggled between Steve Miner and honestly David Gordon Green. I really liked Halloween 2018.
I thought about Halloween 2018. I don't know. My opinion might change when I see what's next. Because he's directing the next two, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so I like him. I do. I just love that first remake with Zombie. I know that it's like sacrilege to say. But
it's not, though.
To watch Junie B. Cortez get his fucking face smashed in at the beginning of that movie... And I don't know why when I think of Halloween, I immediately think of John Carpenter, dead given. But and immediately after that, the first line I think of is from Zombies, and it's "I'll skull fuck the shit out of you," and it's just so brutal and so over the top that I just have a deep appreciation for it because it's just more realistic.
And you know, and it's not sacrilege because I really do enjoy Zombie's first one, but his second one was so bad that I feel like it hurts my argument.
It made me second guess. Like that's why I'm saying I'm so torn. It's like a dead like tie between Zombie and the new guy. And if the next two are amazing, like I think they're going to be, like if I'm going to enjoy them as much as I enjoyed the first one, if not more, then yeah, Zombie's going to be my third favorite.
Well, for me, I think, and this is the argument that I had with myself, and this is why I think I'm actually going to pick David Gordon Green, is because you go back and you watch Carpenter's, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very simple, straightforward, it's to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's its charm. Because of how simple it is and how much it succeeded for it being as simple as it was.
Same with the early Friday the 13th. The reason they were good was because of the simplicity of it. Mm-hmm. Once it got complicated, it was funny and campy, and they they did it on purpose.
So I feel when I watch David Gordon Green's, I felt that simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because they took away and they stripped away everything that made the series muggy and muddy.
Convoluted.
Yeah, like they took away the whole sibling thing of Laurie and Michael. They completely ripped that away. Everything that happened after the first movie just never happened.
Right.
So, and even the feel of Michael Myers in the 2018 film felt like Carpenter.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. H2O is also my introduction, and therefore I do have like a special place for it because of that. So like Steve Miner would be an interest to me, but if we're going strictly for like the better movies, I'm with you on, I think, John Carpenter for the original and David Gordon Green for the automatic sequel, because I think that creates a smooth franchise with those two. They're my favorite two out of it. And I agree with Kramer as well that Rob Zombie's first one was good, and he's on my list of some of the favorite actor directors for that. If I had to pick two, those are my two.
I mean, honestly, I kind of love them all.
Yeah.
I really
for
like,
a different reason.
Now, in my agreeing with you on the David Gordon Green, like as much as I completely agree with what you're saying about all that, there still are little details that I hope that they don't carry forward, like choices and stuff. The whole thing of him holding the mask up and screaming, "Look at my car," like all that stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
That whole opening scene didn't need to happen for me. It didn't fit. It felt out of place.
Yeah, they could have taken the whole podcaster storyline out.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think that they were there for cool kills, though.
Yeah, the kills are amazing for those two. But yeah, that I will say, I'm not going to sit here and praise anything and say it's perfect. It had a couple flaws, for my personal opinion, and I hope that they address that moving forward, that they don't go too campy.
And I do like that, even though we've only gotten a brief trailer.
Like a teaser.
Yeah, like we haven't really gotten much for Halloween Kills yet, despite it coming out in October. But I like that it is kind of taking the route that the original Halloween 2 took, where it picks up immediately after the events of the last movie. And I like that they're doing that, because then it just feels like one continuous story rather than, you know, definitely being able to tell that you're going from one movie to another.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously the movie's not the movie's not out yet, so obviously we don't know exactly to what degree.
Well, I mean, we're from like the first one to the second one, they did, so I think that they will for his sequel.
So
the third movie.
So and like I said, you know, and I completely agree with you that it did have its flaws. Like I said, that whole storyline with the podcasters, you probably could have just taken it out.
Yeah.
I remember at one point, I wasn't exactly happy that Michael killed the kid.
Mm. Yeah.
That kind of that, and you know, some people might be like, "Oh, whatever," but like,
well, and the same thing. That's a scene that I didn't
sit
feel.
Right with me.
Yeah, it's a scene that it didn't necessarily put me off that it was a kid. It felt like it wasn't necessary.
It puzzled me.
Yeah, like it was one of those things where it's like, why is this in here? It didn't feel like it needed to be a part of the movie. It didn't move forward anything.
When Halloween 2018 came out, that was like four or five months after my first son was born.
Mm.
So still a fresh new dad.
So when he's coming in on that crib.
When he came in on that crib and he stood over that crib and looked at the baby, I don't know if I looked at you or if I looked at Kim, and I said, if he kills that baby, I'm walking out now.
Right.
And I'm glad that he didn't. I still don't know how I feel about them even teasing the idea of it.
You walk out of movies too easily. They could be on the screen going, Adam Pettigene's a fucking piece of shit and I hope he leaves, and I would just be like, well,
I've only ever walked out of two movies.
I've never walked out of a movie.
I walked out of there was this movie, it was a PG-13 horror I watched. I can't even remember what it's called. If anybody, when you're listening to this, can think of the name of this movie, let me know. All I remember is this guy and this girl were getting married, and while he was on, I think, his bachelor party, he went to, I think, Japan with some of his friends, and they all, like, raped a girl and, like, killed her. And she, like, haunts him.
Hmm.
and like the wife finds out about it and she's trying to like unravel the story and blah blah blah. I think it's called like Shudder.
That might be, because that sounds vaguely familiar.
I think it was called Shudder. I got bored and walked out of the movie. It was kind of crappy. But and then the second movie was Halloween 2. Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
I get that one.
That was the last one I walked out of, actually. So that was, what, 2008? So I may say it a lot, because I know I said it about The Shape of Water, and I said, if she fucks that fish, I'm leaving. And she fucked the fish, and I didn't leave.
Yeah.
That movie was so good. It's
because you couldn't stand up.
That movie was just too damn good to leave.
It was good.
Watch The Shape of Water. But yeah.
Well, Nicole has Carpenter, obviously, is what she said. Unpopular opinion, but I did like the Rob Zombie remake. That's how she worded it, but I think she's saying she would pick Rob Zombie for the remake.
That's fair.
Yeah. I agreed with her. I said, yeah, it was enjoyable. Let's see. Daryl says he needs to sit down and watch him because he's a noob. And I agree. Not that you're a noob, but that you need to sit down and watch the Halloweens.
Everybody should sit down.
And watch the ones that aren't considered canon anymore, because they're still movies. They're still enjoyable.
And just watch Season of the Witch.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie.
Watch Season of the
Witch. A lot of people complain about it being a Halloween movie, and I get that. But knowing the facts of the time, it was meant to be an anthology, not a Michael Myers like
franchise.
It didn't do as well, and so they brought back the Michael Myers franchise, because that's what was going to do well.
If you look at it outside of, even with it saying Halloween 3, Season of the Witch,
you could just call it Season of the Witch.
You could have. Yeah.
Knowing it's an anthology piece,
and it stands on its own, it's still a good,
so much fun.
It is a good movie on its own.
It's enjoyable.
I know that freaking jingle for the commercials is addicting.
Yeah.
It's like getting the WandaVision theme song stuck in your head.
That's what happens when you stick it to My Fair Lady.
Nicole also didn't get the vote in before the last episode. So on the... what was our things? Here we go. Found it. Excuse me. You have to lose 3 forever and any future projects. It was... Recap, it was Star Wars, the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole, the DC Universe, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Fast and Furious, Back to the Future, 007, Star Trek, Indiana Jones, and Avatar. And she said she didn't get a vote. She's going to lose Avatar, Lord of the Rings, and Star Trek.
I'm not the only Lord of the Rings person. Thank you.
Nicole.
Nicole, shout out to you for making me not feel alone.
It hurts.
I'm not even a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I still love them.
Yes. Daryl asked, did anyone not say Avatar?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Definitely the most common. Let's see. I think that gets us caught up then, because we did the directors. I got Nicole's thing in. Yeah, I think we're finally caught up on that. That's a lot.
That was fun.
I had something I was going to bring up, and I was thinking about it at work today, and now I completely forget about what it was.
I'm still going back, even just knowing how much we've talked about just since like right after the last episode.
I think it requires some thinking, though, so I might save it, but I'll say it now just and let you guys think about it. What scene from a movie, from any movie you've ever watched, made you feel the most uncomfortable? Whether it be
when he skull fucks the baby in the middle of a Serbian film.
Well, I was just going to say something like, in terms of tension or atmosphere or dialogue, or just you're watching a scene and you just go, man, this makes my skin crawl. Not in a bad way, but like the mood it's purposely trying to set.
I can't think of a specific scene out of said movie.
Or is there a scene that just gives you the chills every time you watch it?
The movie in general would be Get Out.
Just the whole movie?
Just the whole movie.
Yeah.
That whole movie made me incredibly uncomfortable. And I know it was designed to, and I know why it made me uncomfortable.
When me and Kim watched Get Out and we did our after briefing of it, we both said that I felt anxious that whole movie.
Yeah.
And I felt that way with A Quiet Place.
I felt that way with Hereditary.
Yeah.
Hereditary had me on edge the whole time.
Like, Hereditary was amazing, especially for that particular scene.
I had labored breathing through the entire thing theatrical watch of that.
Like, nothing genuinely just comes to my mind. Like, I was super... I know I've had those moments. I can recall that I've had those moments, but the only thing that comes to mind specifically would be that one. And I don't even think it's necessarily the most it's ever impacted me, but it's the one I can remember. I remember the entire theater. I'm talking...
Are you talking about Hereditary?
Yeah. That one particular scene of the decapitation was just like everybody. It was dead silent in that theater.
I mean, there were multiple... That part when, you know, the... When the dad's lit on fire, when the mom's sawing her fucking head off with what looks like tinsel from the tree, like, there's just so many moments to that. When he, I mean, it was just a movie that made me incredibly uncomfortable. Now, his second flick, Midsommar, had elements of that. There were some moments.
I want to see that yet.
But
I haven't seen
that was the first time. That was the first time I've ever seen. I'm not going to get into the, I'm not going to get into specifics because
I don't
want to ruin
excited.
It for you.
Not saying don't spoil it. I'm getting excited.
Yeah, no, I don't want to spoil it for you. So there's a scene in that film and my cousin and I saw it in theaters and the theater was packed and everybody was pretty on edge through the whole thing. Like it was just, it's a bit of a slow burn, but it's weird. You got to pay attention to a lot of what's going on.
A slow, but a deep burn.
Deep burn for sure. And there is a moment where every person in that theater audibly cackled.
Oh.
Like, just incredible. It was so uncomfortable, but so fucking hilarious, the visual that they put in this whole scene. I've never been in a horror film that has laughed that hard collectively.
Was it funny, or was it just that uncomfortable that nervous laughter was the only solace?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Yeah. It was pretty fucking unnerving. I will say this, Ari Aster, isn't that the director?
Yeah.
He has a tendency to use nudity to make you uncomfortable.
Okay.
In an artistic way.
Right.
For the most part.
It's not like watching a Friday the 13th. And you're
just
like,
it's just not like boobs.
Or Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
You're taking selfies with him.
And then he squeezes them real quick before he runs away.
Yeah, no, not that.
By the way, watch Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Absolutely.
I think I can see it from here.
Probably.
Isn't it underneath Idiocracy?
Probably
because we watched it with...
It totally is.
We made Ryan watch it not too long
ago. And like I said, like it could even be something more of like a... Just every time you watch it, it just kind of gives you the chills.
Yeah.
Like, right. For example, like I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times, and I'm going to sound like a broken record here for talking about this movie. In Jaws, when Quint gives his speech about the USS Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter how many times you see that movie, that particular speech and that scene grabs you every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so captivating, and it gives you chills just the way that he delivers it, the dialogue in the movie. It makes me just feel just a little uncomfortable,
right?
Because you're just like, man, like it's so vivid. It's laid on thick and vivid, and like it almost makes like you
it's
can paint
a
picture
scene for sure.
And I mean, even
it's
when
descriptive
and even when we get into like talking about the Falcon and Winter Soldier, like the scene with Isaiah Bradley,
right.
That scene made me feel the way that I did the first time I watched Jaws and heard Quint's speech. They made me feel the exact same way. It's because it's so enriched with detail and vividness, and they just lay it on so thick. So
no, I get that. I can't think of anything like specifically. Like I understand those scenes. I don't know if I felt those ways specifically, but completely understand that feeling for those. And I don't know if anything that's like really truly hit me like that. Like I know there has been some. I know I've seen stuff where it's just like, damn. But
I mean,
can't
if we're talking in terms, it just makes me want to throw up and makes me really uncomfortable.
Oh, this just happened today.
Literally fresh in the brain before me and Kramer came over here. The fucking needle scene in Saw 3.
Oh my god.
The needle pit?
It's so bad.
I can't, no.
Really?
Just thinking about the needle pit scene, I could probably throw up right now. That makes
There's
me...
There's something about it. I don't want to puke, but
that
it makes
really
my
even
fucking
bother me that much either.
How can that not bother you?
Well, it's only in like our like arms and legs. Like
The dude literally picks her up and chucks her into a pit
but,
of needles.
But
she of used heroin needles.
Of used
right
heroin
but
needles.
She doesn't like, it doesn't get in her face. Like think of like Evil Dead... The horror movie, not the comedy horror, like remake
the 2013
when the tree has unwanted sex with her.
Well,
because I don't want that to happen.
That happens, but no, I mean the scene where he gets like the fucking needle in his eyeball, mm-hmm. and yeah, he has to slowly hard. Pull it out.
Ew. Yeah, that's hard.
That's some good shit, man. That's same, good horror.
Same thing with the turkey baster in Don't Breathe. I'm not going to say anything funny. More about it.
Now, one thing that I will say, like the closest thing I got to a little bit cringy, and like I said, most like I've worked in some weird professions, and I've seen some. Weird stuff.
I've seen some things, man, and some stuff. I've seen some
things. Not a lot of stuff like either grosses me out or like scares me. That's why I enjoy the horror culture because I try to, it's like a roller coaster to some people.
You try to find what your limit is.
Yeah, you're chasing it. The one thing that I remember at the time kind of bothered me, and I don't even know if that it bothers me much now, was in The Ring when she's watching the clips of the movie. Uh-huh. There's one where they push their finger down on a standing
fingernails nail, fucking
and it comes up through their fingernail, like it breaks their fingernail off as it comes up through.
Yeah,
that's true. The first time I saw that, I remember being like that. And then they did like these weird like screeching noises over the video.
Yeah,
and that
hell helps. I've got two from the same movie.
Yeah,
Hostel, the eyeball scene, and
the Achilles tendon
was rough.
Achilles tendon. That
the
I remember
drill through the cat or the quad wasn't as bad as the Achilles tendon. Handle.
The Achilles tendon yep. is what I watched the eyeball scene and was like, I'm uncomfortable.
Which
from
is funny because
I watched the Achilles heel like scene and I was like, I'm quitting this movie. I'm never right. watching it again.
But like Pet Sematary doesn't bother me.
Oh yeah, with the Judd.
You just jogged my memory for one that popped up, and it's not necessarily.
I just watched both of those movies not too long ago.
It's a very intense scene. It doesn't necessarily make my stomach churn or anything like that, but it's one of my all-time favorite kills, and it's in Your Next when she breaks the blender over his dome and then cuts his head up with the blender.
Mm.
Your next
fucking
was so
chef's
good.
Kiss. I put Your Next up there as well with like Ready or Not. Ready or Not had no right to be as good as it was.
It's Samara
fantastic.
Weaving, man.
I didn't think it was going to be good at all. I went into it going, I like her and I love Adam Brody.
Right.
Because I'm an old school OC fan. Like, let's see what this is about.
See,
and
he says
so
OC
good.
And I think, oh yeah, he was in Grind.
He was in Grind too, which I have a physical copy of.
I still have one.
I think
too.
I do.
That movie's hella
sure.
out of print.
You can't even stream it. There's issues with the licensing.
Yeah, that movie is hella out of print.
Here, smell this. It smells like, more like ass crack or pepperoni.
I got five bucks on pepperoni.
That reminded me. Like now, I'm starting to get like as you're talking about movies, I'm getting some ideas. One of the
unfolded into this because I was really worried it wasn't going to.
Oh no, we're
there. I couldn't think of anything at first, and now like I'm having a brain fart. Like we took a different track, and now I'm losing it. What were you on?
Your next, and how Ready or Not's
that.
Amazing.
I said, at this point, we're just talking about movie scenes that had like an impact on us.
I know, but what did you have? You were talking about something right before
Hostel.
Yeah, Hostel. Shit. No. Oh, I remember. It was as far as like in the moment, rewatching it, it's not quite as impactful, but in the moment, first time seeing it, Curb Stomp, American History X. That was a scene
that
like
was something.
Cold chills down my fucking spine.
That
honestly,
him fucking resting slowly, his mouth in the curb, unwanting to do it, and his teeth just kicking across the concrete. And then as soon as that foot came down, it was just like, I felt like literally a part of my soul died.
That and even when I watched that movie, because I saw that movie at an extremely young age, way too early to have known anything about what was going on in that movie. But I remember watching that movie and watching the ending when Edward Furlong goes into the bathroom and he gets shot. That took a piece
Same.
Of my soul.
That was the second part of that movie that would have got me the most.
The very beginning
like,
and
the
very
fuck?
End of that movie were so intense,
and they sum up the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, they do.
They
yeah,
do a
that
great job
that scene
of it.
In the with Edward Furlong in the bathroom at the end of American History X still today sticks with mm-hmm. me.
And then the other that reminded me, the only other thing I was going to say to recommend, if you want, just this one isn't a scene. This is the whole fucking movie.
The Babadook. The very first time you watch it,
no.
still never sat through
that
it.
Fucking kid.
That fucking
oh my
kid.
God. Oh, what's the name of it? It's got Willem Dafoe.
Lighthouse.
Dafoe.
Nope.
Spider-Man.
No.
Spider-Man 2.
No. shit, now I gotta try and look this up. I think it's
Life Aquatic of Steve Zissou.
No, it's
Spider-Man
like,
Town High.
I think it's like, what's the Antichrist?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Let's see if that's right. I think it's Antichrist.
Was it a Netflix movie?
Willem Dafoe. I don't know if it was a Netflix. It is Antichrist. Not rated. 2009 horror drama.
No, then it wouldn't have been Netflix.
No.
I must be thinking of a different movie.
That movie, I don't even want to say it's a bad movie or a good movie. It's something that you should just experience. It's something.
It's one of those movies, you don't watch it, you experience it?
Yep. And I don't know what the experience is. It's fucking weird, buddy.
It's a feeling that you don't quite understand.
Nope.
Yet.
It's like getting a boner for the first time where you're just like, what the fuck is this? It doesn't do anything yet.
I'm dying!
Yeah, it doesn't actually do anything. So you're just like, why is it tingle?
You know, I just saw a movie on your shelf that made me absolutely love you as a person even more than I already did.
It'll probably be my wife's movie.
Probably. But there's a little poem that goes along with it. And that is, beware the stare of Mary Shaw. She had no children, only dolls.
Dead silence.
And if she sees you in your sleep, don't you dare scream or she'll rip your tongue out of the
seams. I think that one's mine.
Dude,
I know
it's
I like the
my,
movie either
it's
way.
It's like, it's
that's
adult.
An unrated James Wan gem.
It's like Night of the Living Dummy from Goosebumps, yep. But rated R. Yeah. And it's just everything I needed and more. I just saw, I'm scanning your movie collection going, what else affected me?
Right.
And that one, I just have every scene in it. I love it. I love it so fucking much. The visuals were beautiful and it doesn't get enough love.
It was shot really well.
One that totally, it's a lot of fun. Have you ever seen Stay Alive?
Mm-hmm.
I love
I
that
should
movie.
Have it, I think.
I have an unrated copy of it somewhere, but we saw it, my cousin Justin and I saw it and with his folks when it came out in theaters. Mm-hmm. It's some, like, I think it was at a Danbury in Dayton. Nice. And theater's pretty full, though. And it gets to the point where they're like, they've got like one rows left and they're splitting up. And there's this couple behind me and she screams, give her to Rose, baby. Give her to Rose. Just give her to goddamn Rose. And the whole theater erupted in laughter. Yeah. And so every time I get to that moment in that movie,
I scream it.
Give so her like that Rose. Was the part that impacted me.
That's awesome.
But no, that movie's fun too. The graphics could have been better, but for the time, I had a lot of fun with it. Frankie Muniz does not remember being in that movie, as
Jesus.
Most things. He's
wow, really?
Yeah, he's got like seizures and shit. His brain's all fucked up.
That is right.
And he doesn't remember anything from Malcolm in the Middle. So I guess Bryan Cranston like calls him up sometimes and goes, hey, man, you remember this? Sure don't.
Sure don't.
Yeah, they've got a thing going.
That's funny.
I had a couple and I forgot them, so I'm trying to.
Yeah, I'm like
I'm trying
scanning.
To like look back over at his movies to
as,
see if
as
I can.
You're scanning.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
The hammer to the head sound in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, God.
When he slides open that door and fucking two pieces that guy in the head with his hammer. Dude, the sound that thing makes my skin crawl.
I also have a lot of stupid love for both My Bloody Valentine 3D, the remake, as well as House of Wax. And I know that
Hell
it's
yeah,
partially because the boys from Supernatural are in their respective roles.
Yeah.
But House of Wax is so much fun. Did you see it's getting
it
a Scream Factory release?
It is.
I got to show you the artwork. Right. It's
the artwork
so
for it's
I
badass.
Actually thought the movie. And the other thing was Paris Hilton like was actually decent in the movie.
Yeah,
way
but we all knew.
I'm not
going
to say mind-blowing acting,
but we
like,
knew
she was she
everybody
was
went to see that movie because they wanted to see how Paris Hilton was going to die.
Yeah.
Everybody was. And that's fine.
That with a slipcase?
Yep.
Mm, yes.
If it's not $200, I
no,
would
it'll be that. Like a $24 to $34.
Yeah, usually,
no,
I would do usually that. Scream Factory because
I don't
like
think
bucks.
We have a copy. I used to have a DVD. I don't think I do anymore.
Yeah, it says it's going to be there's a new transfer of the film, an interview with Paris Hilton, and more features to be announced.
Nice. All right.
And I'm all for it. I love that movie. I just recently bought, and I've not seen either of them. I just picked up Ghost Ship.
Mm, yep.
And 13 Ghosts. They came out right around the same time. And I've seen like a TV edit of
you
13 Ghosts.
You should watch
but
Ghost Ship with Shayna.
Okay.
Because she likes that movie.
The opening to Ghost Ship is one of the most iconic horror movie openings ever.
I've seen the opening. I've seen the...
So it's
the,
no spoiler.
Yeah,
that, the table? Okay.
Yeah.
That wire scene
is
just... Yeah. It's incredible.
I get that movie mixed up with the Night in Terror... Or the Night in... or maybe it is the Night in Terror Tower. It's the... Whatever the... It's a Disney flick about their ride where you...
Oh, the Tower of Terror?
Yes. I fucking love that movie. I know it's a kid's flick, but it's so much fun.
But mm. I 13 Ghosts is a lot of fun too. Yeah,
13 Ghosts.
The Jackal, yeah. Man. He's the fucking Jackal.
There's some pretty brutal kills in House of a Thousand Corpses too, yeah. that I thoroughly enjoyed.
See, and that's the type of campiness that worked for Rob Zombie.
Right.
Which again,
I prefer that over
not
the
to get
two
completely
sequels.
Off topic, but that was we've already mentioned it before. The I whole don't know, thing man. Was that that's why he did Halloween 2 that way was he didn't want to do a franchise.
Right.
So he purposely made it a fucking Rob Zombie music video so that they would leave him alone. And I can, so he could do his own art. Because that type of movie works great for Rob Zombie. It just doesn't work for Halloween.
Yeah.
So that's his style, but...
But right. I will say this, though, to what Kramer said. The Firefly trilogy may not be perfect, but...
Yeah.
I love them all,
but
don't get me wrong.
The Devil's Rejects is... the best one of the three, in my opinion, at least.
I will disagree, but I think it's so close. Like, the first two in general, I just love them as a set. I love them. They're just great.
Right.
Three, there's something was, about seeing three Rain. Was a letdown, but I still liked it.
There's just something about seeing Rainn Wilson being fucking a merman.
Hell
that
yeah.
just is... It's scarring fucking to the brain.
Cummies.
Didn't think I ever needed that. Still don't think I need it, but I here we are.
Okay, off topic. This isn't going to be like a topic. There's no way. This better not be a fucking topic. I saw a TikTok.
Oh, boy.
With the coin thing from Taco Bell. How much money do you think you lost at the coin thing from Taco Bell? I'd say out of total for me, $5.
In my quarter entire life, I would say probably like $2.
Okay.
I was a fat kid that went to Taco Bell in Troy a lot. I don't want to know the number.
Yeah,
I was always like, "Yo, you got a quarter? Yep. You're trying to win me a fucking soft taco or something?"
I had won a couple times, not a lot.
I was pretty good at it. Yeah. I was really good at it until they drained the water, like which is stupid because right. most people had the other problem. But I was really, I don't know
if I did it. I did do it with water once.
Don't
before.
Fuck with a fat kid and his Cinnasticks. I don't know.
So, like, I never really, because even as an adult, like, and a kid, I never was one for Taco Bell.
Right. But
the only time I would ever do it is like if I did get something and I would just use my change because I just didn't want to carry change around.
All right. So you just dump it in.
So yeah. I would just dump it in and be like, look, I win something, I win some. If not, well, right. I still don't have to carry around change. So it's all good.
No, I got really good at it dry. I forgot that it had water because of how many times I played it dry. I'm good at working.
Bro, you never at least spit on it.
This is kind of morbid, but it popped up and I wanted to bring it up. Ian would probably know more than Adam here, but do you remember hearing about it was true crime shit that happened here in town? I think she went missing in the early like 2010, 2009, something like that, but Nikki Forrest, like just she was pregnant and she like up and disappeared.
For me, isn't familiar because I'm not originally from the area.
Yeah, it doesn't right. even sound familiar.
I know she's from Piqua, but her segment is going to air as part of a missing episode, or as part of missing episode 1173.
Okay.
And it's like some huge like true crime podcast because they're still looking for her.
Shit.
A couple years back in Troy, they went to her ex-boyfriend's place and were digging up the backyard because they found fragments of bone and thought they had a hit and ended up being a dog bone.
Oh yeah.
So, but I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've seen people sharing it online and I was like, apparently it's a whole thing. So I was curious, you know, you're originally from the area.
Yeah. I got nothing, but I, however, did remember my other uncomfortable movie moment that I forgot earlier.
Hit us with it.
And it was also one that I saw earlier today that me and Kramer discussed. And it is the fucking shower scene in Arachnophobia.
I don't recall that. I think I saw that once, maybe. And that's a maybe. I don't think I recall it, so I'll have to look that up.
It's a tense scene. It's just this girl in the shower, and there's just like the spider in the shower with her. And like the whole time, you're basically following the spider as it basically creeps up on her and shit. Like it's
That sounds creepy.
Dude, it's the worst. It makes my skin crawl just thinking about it. Which actually, I don't know if it's still greenlit or not, but they announced not too long ago that James Wan, I think, is producing a remake of Arachnophobia. Hmm. I don't think he's directing, but I think he's producing.
All right, I take that.
And speaking of things James Wan's producing, we are 1 week away from Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
One fucking week.
I need it to be amazing.
Everything yeah. I have heard, I have seen, like, people who got early screenings of it and like test screenings and stuff have said it's really good.
I hope so. It looks like it's going to be. I can't imagine much of a letdown from it. It just looks fucking fantastic.
Even the story for me doesn't even need to be good. I just want to see brutality and violence. And
that's why I like the first one so
much. I want them to nail the what makes Mortal Kombat Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Now, obviously, I want a good story because if there's not a good story, it'll take you out of the movie. But I've been promised a lot of gore and a lot of blood. And that's honestly, that's enough to make me happy.
Right.
So bring it on. And I want to see Scorpion versus Sub-Zero.
Bring it yes, on.
Which absolutely. Obviously we know we're going to get. But
bring it on again?
No.
I wish I knew more than just the first two movies that I could keep.
Isn't there like nine
on.
Of
bring
those
Bring down All or
movies?
Nothing? I think All or Nothing was three.
I feel like there's like 12 fucking Bring It On movies. Well, it's like Step Up.
It's like the Fast and Furious of cheerleading movies.
Why won't this die?
Well, their first fuck up was not having Kirsten Dunst in all of them, which I think is the first time that's ever been said.
Actually, I think that's what was wrong with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Oh,
Kirsten Dunst was in all of them.
I didn't think she was that bad.
I didn't either.
No, that's just me being a dick.
My hot take. My hot take of the week is I loved emo Spider-Man. Fuck yourself.
Just being pretentious.
He feels the way I feel.
I mean, it's funny.
It is funny. I'm kidding. I don't hate that movie, but I understand why people do. I try not to go into things like absolutely hating them. There are things that I don't enjoy.
Have you been running for like an hour?
Have we?
Yeah, we're at 56
minutes. That's ridiculous.
Dude, time flies when you're talking smut.
Yeah, apparently. We ended up randomly talking about like uncomfortable movie scenes for like a 25 minute straight.
Jesus.
I like when we go off on our tangents.
Let's run through spoilers for Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 5. We have one more left after this. So next week will be the final for this run of the season. And then next year, I think they already were. Is it confirmed season 2?
I think it is, but don't quote me on that.
Right. It's unconfirmed to us.
Yeah, I know that they're willing to do it.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about it a little bit.
There was a lot.
Hopefully you've seen last week. If not, again, this is spoilers for the show. U.S. Agent John Walker, current Captain America,
what?
Decapitates at least brutally murders somebody with the shield in the end of episode 4. Mm-hmm. And we kick off like right there. It's him running away from the scene and Falcon and
the Winter Soldier.
Sam and Bucky. Yeah. Sam and Bucky chase him down and they have a fucking epic battle right off the bat.
Yeah, I could not believe they started the episode with that.
It was fucking awesome.
But there was a lot to unpack in this episode. Mm-hmm. Very, very heavy topics. This one was very character oriented. They took a break from the action to really do some detailed analysis of characters
kicked it
and
off
their
with
motivations.
Fucking insane action right off the bat, and then
like
went
to
into
have seen
heavy
that.
Story mode.
I would have liked to have seen that fight at the beginning in a theater. I think that would have been a cool thing to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it once or twice again just to kind of soak it all in. But I enjoyed it a lot. I really did.
I mean, there was a lot to unpack in this episode.
I actually
honestly
agree that you could rewatch this and you'll learn something else.
Oh,
I really feel like I would.
For sure.
Definitely.
Push out.
And I think that the biggest takeaway from this episode was when Sam goes to visit Isaiah Bradley.
Yes. I mean, this is no surprise, but this show in particular is heavily about systemic racism. And
absolutely.
And
if you were
primarily it's
it,
about our country because
in the current state that it's in.
Right.
Now. And if you were questioning it before tonight, there is no way you can question it now.
I don't think so.
There is absolutely no way you can question the race topics that this series is bringing up and discussing. And
right,
I mean,
and it's not just that, like I think that what's going on with the air quotes terrorists, the main people they're chasing in this, I think what's going on with them is a very hard take on a little bit of economy, but I think a lot of immigration and refugee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I mean, this is a very political show.
This is Marvel's
but it's not,
version of Degrassi.
It's not
going
politics
there.
In your face, to me. I think that some people that don't like these kind of politics might think it's in your face, but mm-hmm. I think that it's a well-written story discussing mm-hmm. politics. I think that that's what intelligence is.
And it's powerful.
Yeah. Like, it's not a matter of, like, picking a side or agreeing or disagreeing. It's talking about it. It's telling a story. That's all it really is. They're not saying this is the way it is, and if you don't agree, you're a piece of shit. They're just saying we're telling a story from a perspective, and I think they're doing it well. I think they make it interesting to discuss those topic points.
Exactly. Right. And when they go to Isaiah Bradley's house and he pretty much lays it all out, like what he went through to Sam, and, you know, explains to him what the country did to him, and, you know, over the experimentation with the super soldier serum, and then making him fight for the country, and then when they didn't need him anymore, they tossed him in prison, basically threw him away to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or threw him away from the world, and then, you know, him ending that such impactful. I mean, that 5 to 7 minutes
mm-hmm.
of dialogue that he delivered that speech, where it was in just, oh my God, so tense mm-hmm. and so well delivered. Like I said, I literally can compare that to Quint and Jaws giving the USS Indianapolis speech. Like, it made me feel the same way because it was captivating.
Right.
And it was so just, and you were so invested in what he was saying while in your brain painting that picture of what he had to go through. And it's just, it's so just wow. And he, yeah, and absolutely. Him, and him ending it was saying they will never let a black man be Captain America.
Which, like, is the overarching thing of, yes. of this is, you know, like we said, with discussing different systemic racism issues, but then it's the struggle of, you know, will Sam take up Captain America? Will Bucky, or will no one? The government chose John Walker, and we see how that went. And there also is the discussion of, can the government do that? Like the late Julia Andrea Charlize Dreyfus. she had brought up, like, you know, there's a gray area around the legality of that shield to say
it doesn't belong to the government.
Yeah, whose is it? So can they really take the property away and give it to people? So it's not copywritten, I don't think.
Right.
So I don't know. I love it.
Maybe Julia Louise Dreyfus is the power broker.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, she when his wife straight up's like, who are you? And she pulls out that card and gives it to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's black. It's blank.
Yeah.
Because she was giving it to her to distract her from her conversation she was having with John Walker. It was like giving a toy to an infant.
Right.
It's like, here, I think there
there will also be a secret, like, how to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know absolutely. I mean, there is, but it's Marvel we're talking about here.
Yeah. Kramer brought up an interesting point. I don't know if it's something you came up with on your own or had read about it, but you said that there's a good chance that Agent...
Sharon Carter? Agent 13?
Agent 13. That there was a good chance that she's going to be working with the baddies. We don't think she's the big bad, but that she's in touch with them. And your reasoning was the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I never thought of, and I've heard that thing before.
Apple is, like, so worried about their persona,
their image.
Their image, that you cannot be a villain inside of any movie or TV show and use an Apple product. You're always using some type of Android,
which pisses me off.
Whatever. Yeah. So.
Because not only because, A, I'm an Apple user, but, like, it kind of spoils every movie going forward.
If you remember and you're
looking for it, it kind of takes the fun out of it. Like, I know that was...
Unless it's a movie from, like, set in the 1800s.
I know that that was something that came out around the time Knives Out was released. That was when kind of like that came to light, because I think somebody was talking about that movie
and didn't watch it.
Because they were talking about how, you know, everybody in that... I think it was actually Rian Johnson that said, yeah, Apple said that if anybody in my movie is a bad guy, like, they can't use an Apple phone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a thing that's in their contract with Apple. So, yeah. Sorry for the people who now moving forward are always looking at the phones that the people are using, because it may actually just spoil it for you. But
I don't know. I think that's, like, for people that look into little details, I think that's a good detail that I had neglected. So That's pretty cool.
Overall, very good episode. I did love the Rocky montage that Anthony Mackie or the Falcon guy.
Sam. Yeah, Sam. Wilson.
I don't know why I lost it. Yeah, but
it is Anthony. And then his real name?
Anthony Mackie's his real name. But yeah,
Sam Wilson.
The Sam Rocky montage was good.
That was a good one. And then the montage on the boat.
Oh yeah. That was
Bucky showed up to help kind of
build. That felt so 90s.
It did.
Like it felt like a 90s after school special.
Yeah, to me it felt Top Gun-ish. Like it didn't actually like nail it, but I think that it was kind of like just sort of hinting at that like buddy collaboration thing. That was the whole.
I do love cheesy montages.
Yeah. No, it was funny. But it wasn't like overly campy either. Mm-hmm. Like they were just kind of like hint hint.
And I think that Bucky is like officially like invited to the cookout.
Yes.
I think so. I think so. I think that that's finally there's a bromance there. They may.
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, he was in Wakanda for how long? So obviously, like around, you know, black people, African Americans, like he's definitely.
I mean, they call him the White Wolf.
Right. Like he's right. Made that relationship. He's shown that he's not prejudiced in any way. And, you know, he works to help them and everyone in general. Like, I don't think he sees differences. He's just like, there's good and bad.
Okay, I said White Wolf, and instantly, and this is why I hate the way my brain operates sometimes, I said White Wolf, and instantly all I could think of was that scene in Ace Ventura when Nature Calls, when they keep calling him White Devil,
yeah,
and he's in, like, the battle ring fighting the people, and, like, they just keep throwing spears, and they keep getting stuck in his leg. Literally, that's the only I said White Wolf, and that's instantly what popped funny. In my head.
Every now and again, I remind Ian of this, and it crushes his soul. But the only thing I've seen from Ace Ventura is when he's crawling out of the rhino's butthole. That is the only scene that I've it through. I've not seen those movies.
If you're ever gonna, if that's the only thing you ever see of Ace Ventura, then I'm okay with that because that scene is fucking awesome. Gold.
I'm sure I'm gonna love him. I love Jim Carrey to begin with, especially that era.
I can quote Ace Ventura When Nature Calls word for fucking word. Like, it got to the point where Ken doesn't watch it with me anymore. When
comes on TV. I know all the words to Where Are You Christmas by Faith Hill, so fuck you. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about knowing the words.
I was about to say, do you though?
Where are you Christmas?
I like Jim Carrey singing that better.
Me too.
But to wrap up, my idea on Falcon Winter Soldier was the what's in the box. We all know what's in it. It's a new suit, but
yeah.
I hope it's the blue and white. Like
it's Snoo Snoo?
It's that Snoo Snoo. I do hope it's like the blue and white suit, like from the comics, which I'm sure it probably is. But
I think so.
So yeah, probably.
I like those pants.
Probably in my opinion, the best episode so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, it's hard to say just because none of these episodes can really stand on their own. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all so story-driven that without one, the rest of the story doesn't make sense. So, they're all incredibly important. But, yeah, I liked this episode a lot.
I can't wait for the last one to drop so Ben can obtain them in ways that he obtains things and cuts them all into one simultaneous movie.
And just watch
it all. Because I'm going to say, yo, put that on a zip drive for me because I just want to see it all as a movie. Because that's what it is.
Except it's gonna be like a 6-hour movie.
I'm okay with that. WandaVision,
you can't really do that with WandaVision.
Felt episodic.
Yeah,
this doesn't feel episodic. No. Even though it is, it feels like I'm watching a movie and I'm getting,
which we've talked about, what kind of the point of WandaVision, because it was designed to be like odd episodes,
right? And I love it. It served its purpose. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I do think it was
a very unique in its own thing.
We have talked about how we all feel about the finale that it kind of plateaued real hard. Or dropped off a little bit. I felt like episode 8 was better, but
I did too.
Yeah.
But it's still a great series. I had so much fun with it. But yeah, this just feels like a movie to me. I feel like I could have gone and seen this and
And it feels more Marvel.
Right.
Because WandaVision, like I just said, like WandaVision was so unique in its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I feel like it's one of those things where you can't replicate it.
Right.
So I think WandaVision stands on its own because of how bonkers it really was.
And yeah, and I don't think they're an individual
it was.
Yeah.
But this, I feel like Falcon and Winter Soldier kind of goes back to the formula of Marvel to where it feels familiar.
Yeah.
But it still breaks that Marvel formula mold. Because it still has its own
feel. In this series alone, pr- primarily one particular scene, we've seen more blood than we've seen in the entire franchise thus far.
That's fair. Like, I will say there is one thing that I feel that this show in particular did fall into the Marvel formula of, and that's the villain, is I can't take the Flag Smasher seriously.
I'll give you that.
Like, and we could find out the final episode that there's, you know, a bigger problem, main villain, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those things where it's like, I can't take them serious as villains.
I don't know if they're like, meant to be villains, though, because
but, and that's what I was about to say, though, is like,
yeah, I think it really is U.S. agent.
Not, because I'm not I don't feel threatened by them.
Right. Yeah, I think that, it's showing, I don't even know how to word it.
It is. It's hard to put into words.
Yeah. I think that as like a social commentary, like that's what I'm thinking of. As a social commentary, they're look, it's almost like the level of threat would be like the level of threat in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. We're used to radicalized people and we're used to judging them because their ideas are radical. So you get angry at the idea that their ideas are radical. And what Sam was trying to do was he was trying to sit down with her and say, dude, like, I get it. What you're saying, you're spitting truth. It makes sense.
Just the way you're doing
not
it.
Wrong. But what you're doing to solve the problem that I agree with is the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. Like, I'm on your side when
like,
it comes
your
to
message
what you want.
Is right, but your actions right. are wrong.
And I think that makes them a baddie, but they're not the big bad. I think they're just a baddie. Just like Zemo is a bad guy in this, but he was helpful. You know, like, I know they're not comparable, but it's that idea that everyone has their own level of threat, and they're not on the high end of the threat.
And with me rewatching the MCU, I just watched Civil War yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And watching Civil War Zemo do what Civil War Zemo did, and then, like, having Falcon and Winter Soldier Zemo freshly in my mind, like, I almost feel like I find it hard to believe that that's the same character.
Right. Because he wouldn't help them.
There is such a difference in his character between Civil War and this show. And it almost feels like it could have been a completely different person.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you watch him in Civil War and looking at all the stuff that he did, all the stuff he went through and the plan, like his mind, and it was his whole plan and everything had to be planned out to a T, to every detail. And it was good. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you watch this show and it's like, well, I can see traces of that person there.
Yeah.
But it almost feels like he's just a new version of Zemo.
Yeah. Because, like, the character is really cool.
And I still... And
but I
do,
agree. Like, I kind of like wonder why he's helping so much, because he really doesn't like...
He does not like super
hero
soldiers
thing,
or Avengers.
So, like, the fact that he's literally helping at least one Avenger, for sure, I'd consider Bucky an Avenger. I don't know if they do officially or not.
I think I would consider him and Sam both.
I would, too.
Avengers at this point.
But, yeah, he's literally helping Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's the only one that's managed, you know, in a world of like Thanos and Ultron and Loki, fucking Baron Zemo was the one that managed to successfully break them up.
Yeah. And well, one thing I will say, like, as we're talking about, I'm thinking of what he's helping them stop is a group of super soldiers that are trying to spread super soldierism because they had the serum.
You have to help one to prevent
and
hundreds.
The only super soldier he was helping, even though Falcon, like Sam, is an Avenger and he doesn't like Avengers, Sam's just a guy with tech.
Yeah,
he's almost a war machine at that point.
He's Captain America's war machine.
Yes, so therefore he's not really a super anything. He just is a good guy, and the only super soldier he's helping then is Bucky. And Bucky and him have a pretty deep relationship and history. So I guess it kind of makes sense. I still think the character seems different. He's way too lighthearted and fun going. Maybe they're just doing that because he just got out of jail. I don't know. But I guess the seeing premise...
Seeing him in that club, like, snapping his fingers, yeah. like, doing the Zemo dance, like...
Maybe it's because like, he feels good being out of jail.
It's just like, this dude managed to completely decimate the Avengers, yeah. and now he's just in the club, just snapping his fingers, like, motherfucker, this motherfucker. Maybe know, I am wrong. Maybe do you know this why, is though? The most psychotic dude ever.
Do you know why? He had to. It was a Tuesday.
That's fair.
And the club's going up.
It is going up on a Tuesday.
Zemo knows that.
And he delivered.
Can someone fact check that? Zemo don't play no games. But yeah, I think that now thinking about it and talking it through, I think the premise of it at least is still acceptable, doable. Like he's helping.
But don't get me wrong, I still do love Zemo in this show.
Yeah, it's a cool character. I love the character,
and I am glad that they referenced him being a Baron.
Yeah.
Because I was worried that because in Civil War he was never once referenced as a Baron. And I'm glad that they finally gave us Baron Zemo. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Bronzemo. What else we got? Anything else? I don't like to end on a downer, so we can always come up with something else semi-quickly, but we're getting a little lengthy here. So we had some RIPs that we needed to mention.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm the only one I remember officially. You brought him up, so I'll let you, Sam. But I don't even think I talked to you guys about this yet. Shanna messaged me very early this morning, so she must have woken up to it. Her grandma messaged her that one of their cats had passed away this morning, or at least maybe in their sleep last night. My wife lost her cat that she's had since he was a kitten 2 years ago now, and actually next month. And this was his sister.
Aww.
So, and like twinsy sister, like same litter. So she outlived him for 2 years, almost to the month at least. And she's had a lot of ups and downs with it. They've actually been nervous about her before, like lost a lot of weight because she was a real chubby cat, like mm-hmm. Shanna's cat was. Lost a bunch of weight, but then gained it back and seemed healthy. Skin issues then went away. Recently, she was dumping weight pretty quick. And luckily, we got to see her a couple weeks ago. We stopped in, say hi, and I think at the time I kind of figured something's coming up.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know if they had to take her in and have it done or if it happened overnight. It was very early this morning. They said she passed, you know, overnight. So that's a sad one for us.
We send our sympathies, of course.
Thanks. It was a good cat. She's Maggie May, which...
Aww. Like Rod Stewart, Maggie May?
Maybe.
Wake up, Maggie.
I renamed her because I always give weird nicknames to everything. Mm-hmm. And so when Shane and I were just dating and I was over there, they said Maggie May. And I was like, well, that's a fat cat, so that's Maggie Moo. And then it turned into Maggie Moo Moo. And then now they just call him Moo Moo. Like, there's all sorts of nicknames for her now because of that. So it's Maggie May, but I always call her Moo Moo.
I love that. So. Absolutely love that.
But then we had some celebrity passaways.
We did. I'll let Kramer cover that.
Give me 2 seconds because I just lost the post.
Two.
I just lost.
You're fired.
Time's up, bro. You said
actor
two.
Helen McCrory. That was three? Helen McCrory. She died of cancer at the age of 52 today.
Okay.
I know her as, and I can't say the name, but
Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy's mom. I don't know her. I've read her name 3 times now, and it's just...
like the character's name?
Yeah. She played Malfoy's mom in Deathly Hallows
Mrs. Malfoy.
Yeah, Mrs. Malfoy, yeah. Which she was very, very good in her role. Yeah. That's what I know her from. I know she's done a couple other things, but she passed away from cancer. Thoughts go out to her family. That's tough. Myself have lost people to cancer.
Yeah.
It's never fun.
Yeah.
One thing we try not to do on here is take like hard stances. In our personal lives, we talk about things, we take some hard stances, but we try not to disclude anyone listening. We want you all to be included. But one stance I will take very firmly on, fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer.
If you come at me for that one...
Fuck you.
Reevaluate yourself. Because fuck cancer. Yeah. I've lost family to cancer and it sucks.
I've lost a few people and I've had a friend that went through it and survived it but was permanently damaged and that fucking sucks too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's not cool. So,
On a way more lighthearted note, my buddy Ryan Dunson, he if some of the viewers, listeners, whatever you want to call them, might know him from a band called Rookie of the Year. They've been around since the early 2000s. Fantastic group. If you haven't heard of them, check out the Good Night Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Posted, he was kind enough to share his awesome yearbook picture, which I'll just show these guys right quick. If you want to see it, add Ryan. There Ryan Rookie online.
That's awesome. I love the suit.
Yeah, hilarious. But he wanted to share how dead wrong he was, because in his yearbook, it asked you to make predictions.
Oh.
And he said, "My prediction for the year 2020 is that everyone will live peacefully and the world will cure every disease there is."
That's,
Yikes.
Yikes is right.
And instead we got a pandemic and more war than we've ever had, so...
Yay, America.
Good job there, Ryan. You really nailed that one.
Some reason I thought there was another celebrity death.
I thought there was one too.
That's all I knew about.
I swore we had another one, because when I looked up like celebrity deaths 2021, like Helen McCrory is the last one.
Then
DMX was before that.
Yeah,
so.
If you find the other one, by all means.
I swore there was something else.
There's one thing we need to bring up that I forgot about.
Hmm.
Alfred Molina. Alfred Molina today came out and said that he is in fact playing Doc Ock.
Mm. Yep, that's right.
From Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2.
Mm. See?
And he dropped a little bit of tidbit, and I'm surprised that like Disney hasn't like shot him with a blow dart yet. He said that his Doc Ock storyline in Spider-Man No Way Home picks up immediately where his character left off in Spider-Man 2.
Which was it? Just him sinking underwater?
Yeah, it was him going into the giant machine thing that he made. Like when it like, because it like collapsed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's Marvel. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But
yeah, I think that thing collapsing sucked him into a vortex and he went. I think he traveled to another universe.
He absolutely did, yeah. So
like that's what I think is going to happen with that.
So yeah, that's
and that would make sense, like, especially for comic book worlds.
Who'd have known that that could have been what created the multiverse
all along?
So yeah, So that's our little bit of Spider-Man No Way Home news. I would just want a trailer for this movie so bad.
Literally the only other thing that I can think of that I wanted to bring up was one of my favorite bands, Brighton, dropped their first single since, I want to say, 2017.
Right on.
It's called Crush. You can listen to it on all major platforms. And it's a saucy one. I showed the guys a little bit of it before we jumped into this.
And you said there was a teaser for a new
Devil Wears Prada is dropping the Zombie EP 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another five songs.
Get ready to fucking rage.
I'm stoked. It's supposed to be the heaviest shit they've done. And their first one is fantastic. So bring it on. I'm ready to have my face melted.
Yes. Yeah. The first Zombie EP is a masterpiece.
You know, I also really enjoyed their Space EP. Not as good as Zombie, but the Space EP is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Have you heard it at all, Adam?
I probably have, but it's been that...
It was like 2017 as well, I believe. 2015, 2017 when they dropped that one.
That was a genre that I played in, which you know that. But for listeners, that's a genre I played in. I played during that time, too. So I was on stage, not on with them. I was on the same stage as Miss May I playing the same shows at like the Sydney DAV Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking.
Which is a restaurant now, by the way.
Yeah.
Amelia's in Sydney, Ohio, where the old DAV Hall used to be. And it's so weird to sit there and eat like chicken chunks and go, I saw so many bands here. The Great American Beast, Callahan, Fall Kills the Calendar, Oath of an Exile.
The Machine.
The Machine got such, like, they should have just been bigger than what they
were. Dude, The Machine and The Great American Beast should have been fucking huge.
The Great American Beast looked like they were going to pop,
yeah.
And they didn't.
Well, I think they did. I think they had some label, contractual, issues. And I think they were just like, fuck you, which was smart on their part. They were going to get taken advantage of, from my understanding.
Yeah.
And I'm going from knowledge from right back then, because they kind of explained it right away. Like, this is what happened. Like, because it looked big.
Right.
It looked like they had all this shit just happening all of a sudden. And I think it's because they were with a label for a second that I think was going to screw them, and they caught it early enough.
Do you remember Gnashing of Teeth?
Yep.
They fucked.
I actually designed some stuff for them. I don't think they used it, but they had me design some stuff for them.
Huh.
When we were in A Midnight Requiem,
mm-hmm.
my oversized Mesa cab came from Dwayne.
Oh, okay.
The one guitarist. We swapped straight up. He had an oversized Mesa in pristine condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just a regular rectifier that looked like it had been dropped downstairs.
Okay.
And he was like drooling over it. I want that fucking cab. I was like, I want your cab. And he was like, I'll fucking trade you straight up. And I was like, why? It's the oversized Mesa. Like, what are you talking? And the condition's pristine. And he was like, I don't like the sound of it. I have an orange head. I want a rectifier. I want a regular, normal Mesa rectifier cab. And so he was just like, swap you. And he swapped me.
All right.
And so my Marshall head, like my JCM TSL.
Yeah.
TSL, triple series.
I know which one you're talking about. It was still tubed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was on my Mesa oversized, and that came from Dwayne. And then he traded something or bought something. I think Eric bought his PV 5150 off Dwayne.
Yeah.
Like the half stack, I think. So a lot of our stuff came from dealing with
that. Well, it's funny how some of those things have changed hands. I mean, even with us, like, mm-hmm. I remember being at Pickwick Guitar chatting with Bill, and you happened to be in there, mm-hmm. and I was talking about how I would love to upgrade, or you had just put the
on consignment.
You just put on consignment, mm-hmm. the Marshall JCM 900 mm-hmm. in cab. Wanted 700 for it.
1960 cab.
Yeah, you wanted 700. It was the 1960 lead.
Yep.
And you were like, man, I want $700 out of it. And I was like, I'd fucking love to have this. Mm-hmm. I have a AC15, I forget what color that record
was. It was blue with the gray.
Yeah, it was a limited run.
Yep.
And it was beautiful. Maybe.
It was a limited run either way.
It was beautiful and it gorgeous. Sounded great, but I just needed more crunch for what You Versus Yesterday was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm trying to get $700 out of mine. And we mm-hmm. both looked at each other and it was done deal. And I still play that amp to this day.
Yeah.
Bandcab.
I had gotten rid of the AC to a close friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if he still has it. I know he had it for a long time and but like gigged with it.
Yeah, great amp.
Yeah, I loved that amp.
It was beautiful. I don't remember if I got rid of it
for money reasons or if he was literally just like, I really want that amp because of the look of it because it was gorgeous. Yeah, and you had a fucking road case, like a beautiful road case for it.
Cool.
Yeah, I have custom road case. So many like pictures and videos from when I had that amp. I love that amp.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved that amp with everything I had, but I'm not a pedal guy. Like,
yeah.
I have maybe, aside from my tuner pedal, I think if I dig in a closet somewhere, I have one of the Boss acoustic simulators. Mm. Every time I've ever picked up a pedal, I end up parting with it just because I just don't use it.
Right.
But I love the idea of them. I'm really good. People don't realize that, like, I'm just really good at making it look like I know what I'm doing.
I think most people are.
But like mine is to a whole
genuine prodigies, but
it cracks me up because I don't know what I'm playing. I was taught completely by ear.
Right.
Like, I'd say 94% completely by ear.
Right.
I can read tablature. Yep, but same. Aside from that, I can't read music.
Same.
I know your basic chord names, but mm-hmm. when you get into suspended chords and it's just like I don't fucking know. I can play them. I've been told by multiple producers that I play some very strange chords and in a good way that they're just like, wow, like that's not something you would normally hear said there. But I've also had multiple producers, tell me like, I mean, Jim Wirt, who did some of my favorite records, is sitting there telling me, he's like, dude, you're such a solid rhythm guitar player.
And yeah, I'm like, I think so.
I don't even know. But I feel like half the time I feel like I hinder myself playing it because I'm like, man, I wish I could do so much more. And I don't need to be showy, but like,
right.
I have a speed cap off, and I don't think there's ever been a You Versus Yesterday song that's faster than 160 beats per measure.
Okay.
Because I physically can't do it. Like, I can't chug.
Right.
I can't chug that high. I've never had the strength in my right hand, which is a little odd if you ask me, but I've never been range of motion. My wrist just doesn't want
to
do it. But
maybe you need to practice with the gauntlet.
Yeah, maybe so.
That's right.
Maybe so, but man, that was a tangent.
It's good.
I derailed.
That's good quality material, buddy.
Yeah. So listen to that song that I was talking about from Brighton. That's how we got there.
Yeah.
I remember who our second death was.
Who was our second death?
It was Felix Silla.
Why do I know that name?
He played Adam's Family. He played...
That's right.
Thing. Or not Thing.
Was it Thing?
Was it just Thing?
Or was it Cousin It?
It. Cousin It, yeah.
That's the original right. Cousin It. Shayna brought that one up.
Yeah, okay. So
that's a Shayna Felix thing Silla. Sure.
Yeah, well, my apologies for forgetting that. It wasn't from lack of interest, because I was a huge Adam's Family guy growing up. The movie that came out at the time was what started it, and then that got my interest in the old black and white stuff. So I was definitely, that's a big, that's a loss. So
right. Dude, my favorite.
And that's all I got.
It's so dumb. My favorite Addams Family like series I remember watching was an ABC Family show that apparently people hated, and you can't stream it anywhere.
Right?
But it was the best. It was the one that was on in the early 2000s.
I remember one you're talking about.
I loved it.
I'd have to check. I feel like I remember that. Vaguely.
I can picture Gomez in my head right now.
Right?
Yeah. He had a purple suit on.
Yes, he did. And it was so much fun, and it was only on ABC
Cartoon,
Family.
Right?
No, it was live action.
Live action?
Oh, I'm thinking of an animated series.
I remembered an animated
series.
Was a live action. It was very much like, do you guys remember the Beetlejuice animated series?
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Loved it.
I loved it too. And Tales from the Crypt Keeper,
yep.
Animated series.
All right, let's do a wrap up, and then we can just tangent and bullshit with each other, because people are probably just like, fuck you guys.
Shut the fuck up.
Alright, well, thanks for listening. Check out the website. Spread it. Tell people about it. That's how this stuff... Networking is the only way this stuff spreads. Like, we can't afford to pay for ads, and if I ever do try it, it doesn't work. So, definitely get out there. Tell people to give us a listen. Rate and review. That's the biggest helpful thing you can do. I would prefer not to give negative reviews, but be honest. Just speak your truth. On that note, I'm Adam.
I have been Ian.
And I am always Kramer.
And there was one last thing I was supposed to say on here. Yes, I almost forgot. Kramer brought Ian and I to a comic book store in Dayton. Would you like the honor to finalize this with that?
Shout out Pete. I want to say it's Oakwood area. Regardless, if you are
I'm
in
terrible
the Dayton,
with, yeah, I'm
yeah, if you are
that.
In the in anywhere near the Dayton area, mm-hmm. stop into Bell Book and Comic. Ask for Pete. He's the owner. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had
really cool guy.
Yeah, I've never had any issues getting any issues.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, just he's such a like just a wealth of knowledge and truly cares about his customers and making sure that they find what they want, what they need. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone in to pick up my books and him be like, hey, I know you're a fan of this and this, and we had this really cool piece come in, and I've gotten foil cover variants and things that you know, I'm a big fan of, like, it's no secret, I'm a big fan of Joss Whedon and his worlds, not so much him as a person.
Right.
I always lead off by Joss, and now I've got to backtrack. Yeah.
His creation.
But yes, Buffy, Angel, Firefly, I love those worlds that he created and had helmed. And Boom Studios are doing a new take on Buffy and Angel. They are set in the year 2021.
Okay.
And so they're taking all sorts of liberties, but it's a lot of fun. It's very weird for somebody that's been such a fan of the show for so long, but I really like what they're doing with it. And Angel, before getting issue one, they did a special issue zero.
Nice.
And he gave me the variant cover with him as a vampire, and it's awesome. He's also, I've gone in there before, and he's been like, hey, I know you're a fan of just all sorts of things, and we found this Clerks graphic novel or you know, I'm a big fan of horror movie stuff like everybody else here, so I've got The Thing, like all of the Dark Horse did a run of four comics.
Hell yeah.
He's just that type of dude, and they've literally got so much back stock and so many back issues. You're not going to find fairer prices on stuff, so stop in at Bell Book.
And that's the thing that I liked about it, was I've got Are You Game and Piqua. I think you can get new comics through him.
I've never asked him.
I haven't either. Like, I think you'd go to SC Collectibles at the Pickle Mall to get that. Mm-hmm. We have a folder there because it's close. But Are You Game is my place to go when I want back issues and some tabletop gaming. Yes. But retro gaming, the rotation that goes through there, you know, you can't always guarantee what you're going to get, but you can put in, you know, a request and he'll find it for you. Or you can just check in every now and then and you'll find a new, an old retro game. So I love it for that. And then Alter Ego Comics in Lima was where I would go for new comics. So, and they had some back stock, but Bell Book Comic, it's just a really nice blend of everything. A lot of card games, a lot of tabletop gaming, back issues, new issues, just, and then a lot of rare stuff. They had the 9/11 Spider-Man comic with the black cover, yes, signed and verified, signed by Stan Lee. That's crazy to find that in a comic book shop.
Right.
So, yeah, I highly recommend them. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. They were very kind to us, and they let us throw some business cards in there. I don't know if we'll start up an actual, like, full-on sponsorship with them someday. Don't know how that's going to work, but at least shout out. So, that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to give a shout out to You Versus Yesterday for the use of our theme song, Summer, Let's Make This Forever, off of their EP, Remember This.
Nerd to your mother.